listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A good Wednesday show for you. Unfortunately, I'm going to start off with some not-so-positive news that I can tease is coming in the next couple days in Bachelor Nation. Maria's dad was on a podcast, and people seem to think it was a thinly veiled shot at Daisy. Maria took to the comments section to make sure it was not a shot. A story that happened within the last year in Bachelor Nation has resurfaced again, and it's involving a guy who was on the show a long time ago. He took to his Instagram yesterday. We'll go over all of that. Got a little Vanderpump Rules to talk about, and there is going to be a season two of a show on TLC that we talked about last year. It's back. And we'll get to all that momentarily. So I do want to start off by saying this. There's going to be a story coming up in Bachelor Nation, I would think in the next 2 days, because I heard it was coming out this week. And I had heard rumblings about this for months, and it is not something that I feel is my job to break this story, but it's not a positive story, and it's coming. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. You'll know when it happens, and I believe it's going to happen either tomorrow or Friday because I heard it was coming sometime this week. I guess it's a possibility it could happen later on today, but I don't think so. I heard it was like, this is something that's going to happen at the end of the week. Yeah, as I said, not a positive story, and it's just something I had heard rumblings about for a while. So I can't say I'm too surprised about it, but it's also not my story to tell. So, or not my story to break. So we'll leave it at that. You'll know in the next few days, and I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Yesterday, Maria's dad went on a podcast, and his thoughts on The Bachelorette, because he was asked directly, was Maria given the opportunity to be the Bachelorette? And he said, I don't want to answer that because that takes away from Jen. And people immediately took that as he's taking shots at Daisy because Daisy has made it clear that she was offered the gig and she turned it down. Well, on the TikTok of this particular place, or maybe it was on Instagram, Maria chimed in the comments and said, I can assure you my dad has not seen any interviews with Daisy. Nothing to do with anyone else, just his take on the questions he's being asked. And I believe Maria on this. There's no reason not to. Not to mention, you know, I understand what his take is, but even if he, let's just say even he was taking a shot and doesn't think that anybody who was asked to be the Bachelorette should come out and say, yeah, I just didn't want it, which is essentially what Daisy said. She turned it down 2 weeks before filming started. Even if he was going after Daisy, I don't think that that was Daisy's fault. They put her out on stage. Like, that's the show's fault, not Daisy, for getting put up on stage and answering a question, basically, hey, where are you at in your life right now? You know, it's not, it wouldn't have been Daisy's fault. Yes, I understand that she went on Nick Viall's podcast, but she basically just repeated what she said on the After the Final Rose. What she said on Nick's podcast had nothing new to it. She made it clear, like, she's in a place right now with her health, that she's in a great spot. She's healthy for the first time. I think she went into a little bit more detail on Nick's podcast where she said, look, I'm very well aware that essentially being the lead of the show, you don't get a lot of sleep. You're up late hours. And I don't think my body could handle that right now. On the After the Final Rose, she just said, my health is great right now. I don't want to risk anything. So she went into a little more detail. And she also said, I spoke to former leads, and they told me, like, it's a obviously a great gig to have, to be the Bachelorette, and, you know, have a whole show revolve around you, but it's also not very easy, and it's a lot of stress, and you're not going to get a lot of sleep. So she took that into consideration, and we have to accept that as her answer as to why she's not the Bachelorette. But no, when I saw the clip, I didn't know for sure because I have no idea how much Maria's dad follows the show, you know? No idea. So with Maria clarifying that, I'm totally fine with that answer. And I'm sure, you know, she's basically just saying, like, look, he's not a super fan. He doesn't know all the interviews that Daisy does. But I'm sure he watched the finale. He had to have known that she was put up on stage and asked directly. It's not like she could say, I'm not going out there to talk about this. It just, even if she said that, they would have found a way to get her up on stage to basically tell people why she wasn't going to be the next Bachelorette after we saw that ending, which clearly made a lot of people think that it was going to be set up for her to be the Bachelorette. So I understand that Daisy, or that Maria wants to stick up for her dad, and I've got no problem with that. My thing is, I think for Maria's sake, because there are so many different people literally coming out and saying specifically what they have heard about Maria not being the next Bachelorette, I think she should go on a podcast. I mean, she's never going to come on this one because she's not allowed to, but, and I doubt she's going to go on Nick's, but I think that she should at least address it, you know, because like I said, there's four different things I've heard as to why Maria isn't our Bachelorette. And people have come out and directly said, Nick gave a direct answer as to why he heard that Maria wasn't the Bachelorette. And Wells said the same thing. And Wells gave an answer as to why she wasn't the Bachelorette. So the reasons we've heard were, the first one was one of the sisters from the show. Remember, the night of the finale, she got DM'd by somebody who asked, why isn't Maria the Bachelorette? And the sister, I think it was Lauren, that said she turned it down. Well, I don't think anybody believes that. Then I can't remember which one Wells gave, but there is one of the people out there said that she was the Bachelorette. She was given the gig, but she was so difficult to deal with, they fired her after 3 days. I don't believe that one either. You know, I could see them being in talks with her, and there was something along those lines. Oh, that's what Wells was Maria said, I want my best friend to be one of my producers, and I want to be able to have my phone. And they said no, and that's why she's not the Bachelorette. Then there's the other one that said she actually was the Bachelorette, and they started filming with her for 3 days, not the season with the guys, but just all the intro packages, doing the fittings, all that stuff, and she was fired after 3 days. That one I don't necessarily believe. I find it hard to believe that she thought she would get away with, I want my phone and I want my friend to be my producer. I don't think that sounds realistic. And then there is, what was the fourth one? It was turned it down, wanted her friend to be her producer, was the Bachelorette, and they fired her. And there was one other one. I'm forgetting what it was, but they absolutely talked to her about it, for sure. There probably was a point where they really wanted it to be her. I think the fourth one was she asked for too much money. And they just said, no, we know we can get somebody cheaper that'll do it that isn't, you know, wanting to make money. So, look, all those can be false, but other hosts have thrown this out there. I told you the day after the Final Rose aired, I said, I had no idea Jem was going to be the host. I had no idea Jem was going to be the Bachelorette. And I hadn't heard anything in regards to Maria. I knew that they had spoken to her, but I hadn't heard any reason why she didn't end up as the Bachelorette. But then these other people are throwing it out there like it's 100% truth. You know, her friend says she turned it down. So it's like, okay, somebody's lying here, because you don't turn it down when someone else is saying, oh, she had it for 3 days and they fired her. So I'm curious. And we haven't heard one thing from Maria about the Bachelorette gig since it ended, since the After the Final Rose aired. I'm surprised. A lot of other people have done podcasts. You know, Daisy has been on podcasts. We've had, I don't know if Rachel's done a podcast. Maybe she did. But it is kind of surprising that we have not heard from Maria. And with all these rumors floating around there about her and why she's not the Bachelorette, I mean, maybe she's just taking the approach, look, the more I talk about it, it goes along the lines of what my dad said. It's going to take away from Jen's season. I don't know. I don't think it will, because Jen's season has already started. They're 2 weeks into filming, basically. I don't think it's that big of a deal if Maria comes out and actually refutes the rumors or says something along the lines, because if these aren't true, why would you want that out there about yourself, you know? So maybe she should address it, but she doesn't have to. It's up to her. Personally, if it were me, I would address it, but I'm not her. And it's not wrong if she doesn't address it. I would just think that she knows what people have been saying. It's not like she has no idea what Wells has said, what Nick has said, what Lauren said to someone on Instagram DM. She knows what people have said. So she can easily put these rumors to rest. Hell, even if she's lying, just throw it out there and just say, no, just wasn't for me, you know. But they definitely spoke to her, and they definitely were in talks with her. But in terms of what broke down, I have no idea. And I think it was pretty irresponsible for those people to run with something when we now have four reports out there and we have no idea what's true. This podcast is brought to you by Way. Ladies, I know your hair gets the frizzies. You're too busy to be frizzy. Get Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. Obviously, I don't use it, but I did give it to my sister, and she absolutely loves it. It helps reduce and repair split ends as well while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com, that's theouai.com, and enter promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. All right, so something that happened, I want to say, let me get the exact date on this. This happened back in August of last year. Former Bachelorette contestant Josh Sider. Remember, we went through all this where he was having issues and he posted, there was a post on his Instagram page basically saying that he had died. And he afterwards came out a day or two later and said the post was a result of a social media hack. He said, hey guys, as you can see, I'm alive and well. My account was hacked for the last 24 hours. I've been trying to desperately get into it. Somebody was playing a cruel joke and mocking my mental illness and struggles I've gone through with depression and suicide attempts. I'm sorry for all the pain they caused when they made that post. I just got back into my account. I'm going to do all I can, update all this. Thank you guys. And he was on Caitlin's season. He was eliminated in the first week. And he attributed it to someone in his family had done it. And he has spoken out numerous times about his mental health struggles in 2021. However, there's been a lot of reports about him from other people that have dealt with him because he has dated numerous women in the reality TV world who have come and spoken out against him and says he's an absolute pathological liar. And when that story came out, again, it paints somebody, you don't want to immediately dismiss it, but it came from somebody who's been known to fabricate things and do things for attention. So at the time that it came out and it said he was dead, I didn't report it. I only talked about it until after he came out and said, oh, no, this wasn't real. I was hacked. I didn't believe it at the time. I think most people didn't believe it at the time, nor should they have. I don't know why, but it took him 7 months, 8 months to come out and post a new thing on his Instagram yesterday that said, I was the one who was behind my own death statement. Last year was one of the most agonizing times of my existence. I couldn't handle the pressures of life, including the passing of the one man I was closest to, my father. I was ready to bring it all to an end and was fully prepared to do so with the tool I had chosen nearby. I wrote my own eulogy because I did not want to put that added pressure onto my mother, given what she was about to endure. I posted the eulogy with the full intention of no longer being here. It was my suicide note. Thankfully, fate had other plans that day. I want to apologize now for the hurt and confusion I caused when I was broken and at my lowest. For everyone's sake, including my own, I am thankful I am still here. 8 months later, he writes that the guy clearly has some problems. Like, glad he's alive, but it's very hard to take him seriously from this point. Hell, even back then, I didn't believe it at the time that he was hacked. It's very hard to take somebody like this seriously because this is now the boy who cried wolf. You know, he's done this too many times. He's tried to get attention too many times. He obviously has some serious, serious mental health issues that I hope he gets taken care of. But when you do that to somebody and you put out a fake statement and then blame it on your family and then 8 months later say, nope, it was me who did it. I don't want to sit here and say I forgive, but I don't forget because I don't know the guy. I'm not close to him. I've never spoken to the guy in my life, but this is a problem. And I wish he would have handled it better. And he clearly has some mental issues, and I hope he gets them taken care of. But as I said at the time when he was doing this, there was a lot of red flags up in the air about this guy. And I said, look, I'm not going to touch this because I don't really necessarily buy it. And ended up being right. A lot of people ended up being right. I'm not saying I was the only one. There's plenty of people that were just like, this smells fishy. This doesn't pass the smell test. And it didn't. We find out now, 8 months later, it was him the whole time. But to do that and then to wait 8 months and then just come out yesterday just out of the blue with that statement on your Instagram page and be like, yeah, I was the one who wrote my death statement. It's like, okay, over and done with. Sorry it happened, but anything this guy says in the future, he's really killing his credibility. Anything this guy says in the future or does in the future on social media, it's impossible to believe. So I hope he gets the help that he needs is my statement, because he needs it, without a doubt, 1,000%. So, Josh, if you're listening, glad you're alive. I thought that was a really shitty thing to do back in August of last year, and I hope you get some help. Vanderpump Rules last night. Wasn't a lot of Ariana in it. They picked up from the Venice Beach scene, and it's just the same thing that I said last week. She just seems miserable on this show, and she seems to outgrown it, and I can't imagine if there is a season 12. I'm sure she'll be on it, but I can't imagine her being a regular because everybody else needs this show, and she doesn't. With that said, when I was watching the show last night, you know me. I'm a late comer to Vanderpump Rules. I did not watch for 10 seasons. I only started watching at the reunion show and then all of this season. Joe and Schwartz are like two of the weirdest people in the world. Like, why are they so weird? Maybe it's just Schwartz and Joe just feeds off his weirdness. Has he always been like this? He's just kind of an oddball, right? Because I don't know whether to take him seriously or just to know he's just kind of, is he just a jokester all the time? Because he's so weird. Especially when he's with Joe, they make faces at each other. They got weird nicknames for each other. They talk about aliens. It's just a bizarre, bizarre relationship that I guess ended in last night's episode. It's probably not the last time they spoke to each other, but basically they were friends with benefits and she got the feels and tells him, yeah, I have to separate myself from this because I've developed feelings for you. So who knows where the relationship is going to go from here and where it's at right now. I don't know. I don't follow the online stuff and the online chatter. I'm sure the people that follow Vanderpump Rules know very well where Joe and Schwartz stand right now. Maybe something happened at the reunion or something like that. But speaking of the reunion, did I hear something on TikTok or read something on TikTok that the reunion did not go well for Lala in terms of Ariana just absolutely laid into her to the point where we're looking at a possible ending of a friendship? Like, Lala and Ariana apparently are not on good terms because Ariana crucified her at the reunion taping. I don't know when the reunion's going to air. I'm assuming sometime in May, so we probably got 3 or 4 episodes left of this season. But I don't know how much their truth is to that rumor. But Lala, the edit that she's getting this season seemingly is pointing to the fact that she is not a huge fan of how Ariana has handled everything. And there might be a tinge of jealousy in there, of course, because Ariana is getting everything that probably Lala and Sheena would want out of what happened in this case, you know? Because, look, Lala went through what she did with Randall Emmett, and she hasn't gotten the overwhelming positive publicity and all these gigs that Ariana has gotten out of it. Dance with the Stars, numerous brand deals, the host of Love Island this summer. That's not happened to Lala, and she got cheated on very badly by a guy that's had a major LA Times piece written about him. You know, I don't know their full story. I just know that he's not a good guy. But I gotta believe, There's no way that Lala can say that she's not a little bit envious on how things have turned out for Ariana. Same with Sheena. You know, there's got to be something in there. It's like, yeah, I'm a little competitive. Of course, we're all on the same show. But now one of us is doing so much better than everyone else. So there's got to be something there, right? But yeah, my notes from last night are just like, Joe and Schwartz are the two weirdest people together. They're so bizarre. Anyway, and I want to end with this. This was something we talked about last year. I can't even remember when it aired, but it was on TLC, and it was a show called MILF Manor. Yes, MILF Manor, a real show where it was either six or eight MILFs, women, like I think they were between 45 and 60, were brought to an island and, you know, had to date a bunch of younger men that they bring out for them. But all the younger men were their children. So the children of the men were dating, the children of the women were dating the other women there. Like, those were the only men. I don't think they brought in other singles that weren't the children. They might have, but I never ended up watching the show because it just seemed like, you know me, I'll watch some reality TV, but that just seemed like way too lowbrow. And I'm just like, okay, I'll just maybe hear about it. Well, Season 2 is coming up at the end of this month. April 28th on TLC and Max is MILF Manor Season 2. And they say the twist this season is unbelievable or whatever. I'm just like, well, wait a second. If your twist in the first season was the guys that these women, these MILFs would be dating are all their children, guys in their 20s, you know, what could possibly be the twist this season? The only thing I could think of would be the ex-husbands or the men who they had children with, and they're going to bring all their exes back, and their ex is going to date the other ones. And that really wouldn't be, it wouldn't be so far of a twist, because we've kind of seen that with the Big D, where divorced people dated other divorced people's couples that they were living with. We saw that. The children thing was totally out of left field and one of the most bizarre things we've ever seen on reality television. Where it's like, okay, we get that you're going to bring in a bunch of 20-year-olds because that's why you're calling it MILF Manor. These 50-year-old women were going to date a bunch of 25, 30-year-old men. Okay, great. But all those men happened to be their children. And I thought that was obviously just a bizarre twist. What could possibly beat that twist? I guess we'll have to watch and find out. I'm certainly probably not going to watch season two. But I will read a recap after the first episode airs on April 28th. I'm sure on April 29th I'll find some recap and find out what this twist is, if the twist happens in the first episode. But hey, just to let everybody know, MILF Manor is happening April 28th this year on TLC and Max. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review. But you got to hit play. That's the only way it counts as a download. So if you miss a day, please go back and hit play. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. And I swear sometime this week, I'm going to put up the spoilers for Jen's season that I have already given out in the podcast. But just so you have it in written form and you can always go back to it, it'll be the top, it'll be the top post on my website until Jen's season starts. So I will eventually get to that. I just need to create some time for it. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.